It won't take much for us to just to get our eyes off of him. If you will, this morning, turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I'm going to start reading with verse 22 down to verse 27. I hope and pray that each and every one of you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I know that we as individuals, we have been blessed. There are so many people today that this Thanksgiving was homeless. They didn't have no place to go. We need to be thankful for what we do have. And we need to just worship him and giving him thanks every day. We don't have to set aside that day, just one day a year in Thanksgiving. It should be each and every day of our lives. It should be each and every Sunday, especially Sunday night and even Wednesday night, because we are thankful people. Because there's some places overseas, and there's some places that here in the States now that they don't even have services anymore. They closed its doors. Brother Noah Fry, he called me yesterday. Yesterday. And he called me and he was telling me, and we were just talking there, and he was telling me about a church that he'd been going to for years, holding revival. And all of a sudden, the pastor just left. And the church got down to two people. They didn't have no teacher. They didn't have no deacons. They didn't have no trustees. They didn't have nobody but just two people. And they closed its doors. Sad to say. But it's happening all around us. It's happening all around us. We need to pray for them two people that they tried and they tried and they tried to keep it open, but it seemed like they was fighting against the odds. So now they called Brother Noah Friday, I believe it was, talking to him about what they need to do and how do they go about selling the church. It's sad. It's sad that we live in a country where people has got so in love with themselves. They don't have the love for the Lord Jesus Christ and his house. We need to have that love. And I've sensed that love since I've been here. And I pray the Lord that we do not lose it. I know that Satan he's sitting right back to where when something comes about, You're going to try to come in and close the doors. Try to get disturbance within the church. Y'all pray for me and I pray for y'all. That we'll continue to be strong in the Lord. Because if we're not strong, we could be that church one day. I'm speaking of the building. I'm not speaking per se of the church, because the individual that breathes, that are here this morning, saved by the grace of God, you are the church. But it said to me yesterday afternoon when Brother Noah said this, to the two men. And he told me, he said, I talked to you last, back here this past summer, this past spring and everything. And he said, you wanted to have a meeting with me, wanted me to have a meeting with you. He said, but I had everything booked up for the next 2 years, which was this year, next year. He said, but if anything comes available, I'll give you first opportunity. So, March the 29th, he'll be with us that Sunday morning and that Sunday night, Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday night. I don't want to get him to the point of where he's going to be discouraged because he ain't got a place to go. Because you get people like that discouraged, then what is it going to do is bring discouragement on us also. So with that said, I'd like for y'all just pray for the church that's in Archdale somewhere. Or in Archdale, don't even know the name of the church or anything, but they've closed its doors. And I just pray that God will just send someone that will just preach to them. Where one or two are gathered in his midst, he is there. And it's just like I was saying to you, Miss Sister Huff, this morning. Talking about nine people, four of them nine, 36. It ain't just nine people. It is, if everybody here is saved by the grace of God, we have 36 individuals. Because God is a living being. The Holy Ghost of God is a living being, because the Word of God says that the Holy Ghost, it's not a it, it's a he. And I thank God for that today. I really do. Would y'all pray for me this morning that I can get through this message this morning. Verse 22. In chapter 1 of the book of James, the epistle of James. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continued therein, He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father in this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Our Father and Lord Jesus, we thank you for this marvelous day. Now, Lord, we just thank you for the reading of the word this morning. We thank you for the Sunday school hour. We thank you for the people that's here. Now, Lord, we just pray, God, Father, for that unction from on high, that you give me the liberty and the freedom to preach the word of God. Father, we thank you. And help us, O Lord, that we may continue to serve you. Put you first in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to bring you this message on pure religion. We see right here in verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Pure religion. Old time religion. We need to remember the old time religion. We don't have to go back, and we don't have to go back to the old days. We don't have to go back into the days of where you had the washing machines there. You had to, they had to wringer on top, and you had to wring your clothes out. Had to kind of wring the clothes out to get all the water and everything off of the clothes the way you could hang them out. We don't have to go back to the day and time that where we didn't have no inside plumbing. We don't have to go back to the day and time that we had no lights. We don't have to go back to the day and time to where the only kind of heat that we had was the wood stove. We don't have to go back there, back in that time. But we need to stay focused on that time, considering the Word of God. Because the people of old, they knew what they was doing. They knew in whom they worshiped. And they stood faithful to whom they worshiped. We know that we had Billy Sunday, one of the greatest evangelists that there was, the priest in this part of the country. We had D.L. Moody. He preached the Word of God. We had so many that went on before us. We had Brother Mays Jackson that I had a privilege of being going to and hearing him preach. And maybe some of you have heard Mays Jackson here at the church. I don't know. And I've heard that Mays Jackson's been to some churches here in Danville. But I've heard some old-time preaching. Pure religion. That was what will get a hold to an individual's heart and get a hold to their soul. I sure am glad that God got a hold to me before the Baptist church did. I'm so glad that I experienced something there that my prayer is that people can be able to experience one more time. You know, we said We've said in the times past, we went back over the years, that we need an old-time fashioned revival. We had an old-time fashioned revival this past September. And we get to see the results of it, where young people are getting saved, and they're not just getting saved and say, and then they keep on going on with the life. No, they got a new step. They got a little pep to them. They got a little smile upon their face, that before, the only thing that they had was a little frown upon their face. Why? Because of everything that was there, they were having to go up against it in the world and at school. But now they have something else that can go with them. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the Holy Spirit and God the Father. The three in one. The Trinity of God. That goes with them young people. And they are smiling. And when they smile, now they're having other young people come up to them and say, "What are you so happy about?" And they don't mind telling it. They said, "Well, I've been born again. I've been saved by the grace of God." They don't mind telling it. But I'll tell you one thing. We older generation, we can learn from them. We can learn from the young people of today. Yes, they want something. They want the truth, but they're not getting the truth in a whole lot of churches anymore. They're not getting truth from the family. They're not getting truth from the peers. They're just getting heartaches after heartaches and after heartaches. They don't need no more heartaches. They need someone to be able to lift them up. And that's what we're supposed to be. That's what I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be here to lift you up. I'm supposed to be here to lift you up to where if you're down, then rejuvenate you to where maybe that step that you have is not much of a step anymore. Because you're walking kind of slow. Yes. Even myself, I walk a little slow now. But I still tell people who saved my soul. And it was not no Buddhist. It wasn't Muhammad. It wasn't a Fugist. And it wasn't all of them. You can go to their grave and you can find out that that's where they was buried, and they was there until the flesh rotted off of the bones. But you can go to my Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph Arimathea, grave there where it was buried. He didn't need no grave that was going to last him. He needed it only for a few days. Then he rose again on the third day. Victorious. Over who? The devil. Who was he victorious for? He was victorious for us. That we would not have to go to that horrible place called hell. And that is a hell. Some people don't believe in it. Some preachers don't even believe in it anymore. I mean, I heard somebody telling me here last year, a couple, two or three years ago, that over here in North Carolina, a great large church there, the pastor had come into the church. They didn't have all that many people. So they ended up started sending people out on Saturday.
And they was having the young people come out, and they would go out Saturday and visit the whole neighborhood. And after visit that neighborhood, they'd go into the other parts of the city and visit. And they grew, and they grew, and they grew. The last time I heard, they had over 600 people. But then the pastor, he went away. He went away for a vacation or whatever. I don't know where he went. I think he went to meet the devil, I think. Because he came back. And when he came back and he stood in the pulpit on that Sunday morning after he'd come back off of vacation. And he stood in his pulpit. And he says, I've been preaching you a lie for the last 11 years. Some of the people looked up and looked with a glaze in their eye and wondered what was coming next. He says, I've been preaching a lie. I've been preaching and I've been telling y'all about hell. And I've been teaching y'all about heaven. But I've come to find out one thing, that there is no hell. God will not send nobody to hell. A just God will not send nobody to hell. And that's when he stood up in his pulpit. And he said that there is not a little hell. I don't know what Bible he had got a hold to. But I know one thing. He got a hold to the wrong one. And my prayer is now that he gets saved. Because if he said that there's not no little hell, and he's been deceiving the people all these years, he's been deceiving his own. My prayer is that he gets saved. But you want me to tell you what? He's still preaching at the same church. They didn't have no individuals in the church that had backbone enough. Need to sit down and talk to you and find out what is your belief. We thought we knew, but we don't now know. Did he get rid of them? No. He talked them out of that. He was in it for the money. Come to find out, the more he preached on heaven, the more he preached on love, the more he preached how much God loves you and everything, then the people would end up coming back. And it seemed like every time he preached on hell before, it's when some people wouldn't come back after they come visit. If there's a preacher or a pastor, evangelist, or missionary, and if he preaches on heaven, and if he preaches on hell, and if an individual that's under the preaching of the word that somebody preaches on hell, and if they don't come back, it's not because he preached on hell. It's because of their own sin. They're in such conviction, they don't know what conviction is. Nobody tells them, teaches them, and lets them know what the conviction is. I said that one time when I first was called to preach. I said, I would love to have our convictions. But I can't have somebody else's conviction. Only convictions I can have is what God gives me. The only convictions you have is what God gives each one of you. And we must stand behind them convictions.
We must stand behind them. Old time, that is old time religion. Old time conviction. Yeah, we have people today have convictions, but where are they at? Where will they be at today at lunchtime? When, I mean, what's the place of businesses that they'll go to, and they'll sit down to right there, and they'll order the food? Where is it at? I'll tell you exactly where it's at. It's at the places where sells alcohol beverages. It's at the places where are not fit for a preacher to go into. Since I've been saved, I've never been in Applebee's. Since I've been saved, I've never been at the Red Lobster. Since I've been saved, I've never been into the steakhouse. The only steakhouse that I go into is Western Sizzler, if I go. Why won't I go to the other? Because they sell the beverages. They sell alcohol. They sell liquor in there. That's the reason I don't want to go. Because God give me them convictions. Yes, I used to drink beer at one time. And I used to drink some liquor too. It wanted to point that I'd get stone drunk and all like that. But since I've been saved, I've never been in one of them places. You can ask my wife. If you don't believe, you can ask her. She'll tell you. It's not for me to go into. Because I look at it this way. If I invite somebody to come to church, and I'm up here preaching, then I leave and I go to Applebee's or Red Lobster or the steakhouse. And if they had one of them places, what are they going to do? He's the preacher. Well, think he's just saying that to himself? No, he's telling other people. You'll never win somebody that has a half-hearted conviction. We need to break, because God's word says that we shall not take upon the drink of the wine or the alcoholic beverages I hear and put them to our lips. You say, well, preacher, what's the difference then going to the grocery store and buying groceries? They got beer and they got wine and that. Yes, they do have beer, they do have wine and that. But guess what? I don't have to go home with them and watch them pour it into a glass and sip on it. Went to restaurants, they got bars that they can sip on. That's the reason why. We must have old-time conviction. And we have old-time conviction. We must have some old-time compassion toward the lost that's in the world. We must have old-time compassion for the lost. Old-time compassion will bring old-time separation. old time separation. Verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows is their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Separation. Yes, we live in the world. We live among the sinful people today, and we work among the sinful people today. But it does not mean that we have to walk in the same way that they walk. We must have that kind of compassion and that kind of love for individuals. I know some people today, yes, if I meet them out here on the highway somewhere, or if I meet them somewhere over town, Lowe's or Walmart, somewhere else like that, I'll go up and I'll shake the hand. And I'll speak to them and I'll talk to them. But they don't want to speak to me. Why? Because they got different convictions than I got. They don't have the old time conviction. And they don't have the old-time compassion, which will bring about the old-time separation. That we must separate ourselves from the world. We must separate ourselves from the sin that is in this world. We must have also old time concern. Old time concern. Old time concern. Do we have that anymore? Do you see that anymore? I'm afraid we don't. Old time satisfaction. We must also have an old time in his return, or his coming again. We must have the old time belief in the catching away of the church. I know we emphasize on a rapture a whole lot, which the rapture itself is not in the Word of God. The Word is not even in now. But it's the same thing as the catching away or being caught up. It's the same word. The word rapture is man-made. But being caught up in the air, that's not man-made. That's God made. God made. And it's the surety of his coming back. I want to leave you with this morning, if you will. Everyone stand, everyone eyes closed, head bowed. I'm going to leave you with this thought. Is he coming back after you? Is he? Are you looking for the blessed hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you looking for the return of him coming back soon? If not, you need to be on this altar. We need to realize one thing. He is coming back. He's coming back when we least expect it. So, in other words, what he's saying is, it's going to be a surprise to you when I do come. Are we going to be surprised? Titus chapter 2, and I believe it's verse 18, I think it is down there. We need to be looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the Lord Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus. If you will, this morning, if you have a need, if you have somebody on your heart that you want to pray for, you come on there this morning and you pray for them. Pray for the church, pray for me. I got to go back to the doctor this Thursday. Got to give him some more blood, and then I'll go back to next week and find out what the results are. You know, tell you what, I'm looking for some good results.